Hey, I'm Darren. I'm one of the pastors here at Focus 314. And today we are on week two of a sermon series that we are calling Bad Advice. And what I'm going to do today is I'm going to give you some bad advice. Okay? Like that's what, or some of you are like, this doesn't make any sense. Why would I come to church and receive bad advice? And you're absolutely right. This doesn't seem like the place that you should come and get bad advice. We try not to do that. We really try not to do that on a regular basis. And so what we're doing in this series is we're kind of coming at things in a bit of a sarcastic way. Just a little bit of a sarcastic way. That we're going through this, here's what we realize is that a lot of us at many times we make decisions and we make choices that we necessarily wouldn't follow all the time. We listen to bad advice even though we don't realize it. It kind of just happens. It's easy for us to fall into it. And so what we're doing during this series is we're kind of calling it out. We're just naming what it is, and then hopefully in this context, in the church context, that we're going to see this and realize, like, that doesn't make any sense. That's just ridiculous. Of course, I would not follow that. But we wouldn't follow it. We would listen to it if it wasn't in this context. And so hopefully what we'll do is that we'll realize, like, man, that's some bad advice. I should not listen to that. And then when it comes up outside of this church context, that we're going to listen to what we just heard before and say, man, that's some bad advice. I definitely should not do that. And so that's what we're doing during this series. It's going to be a lot of fun, but hopefully at the end of the day, you're also going to realize how effective it is as well. Hey, just let him come up here and preach, man. Come on now. I told you we got a preacher on our hands. My man, that's what I'm talking about. Lorenzo, I love this thing right here. This is my buddy. Now you're my buddy. Before you didn't want to. Now we're buddies. I love it. So we're going through this series called Bad Advice, and I have a question for you as we start things off today. The question that I have for you today to be able to kind of get into the message is this. How many of you would say if you had a little bit more money that life would be easier? Go ahead and answer that today. How many of you would say that if I had a little bit more money, life would be easier, right? Like if I said to you, okay, I've got a check for $10,000 that I'm going to give out today, and it's underneath your seat, all right? We put it, yeah, some of y'all checked, right? Like I'm like, I don't think you're real, but I'm going to check anyway just to make sure, right? Because if you said, hey, if I had $10,000, an extra $10,000, that life would be a little bit easier right now at this moment. Life would be a little bit better right now at this moment. If we had just a little bit more, that life would be a little bit easier. You would say absolutely to that, right? Just this past week, we were, my wife and I, we took our boys to go see a movie, and we got some popcorn and soda afterwards, or before the movie, and so we ordered that, and then I paid for it, and it was like $47.50 or something like that, for one popcorn and a soda, you know, and so I paid for it, and then I got 50 cents back. 50 cents was my change back, so, you know, I don't like carrying around change. I don't know if you're like me. I don't have a purse that I have a place to stuff all that stuff, you know. I have my wife's purse. That's what I have. Here's all my stuff. Carry it for me, you know. And so anyway, I had these two quarters, and I said to my youngest son, I was like, hey, buddy, you want to go ahead and have these quarters? And he's like, yahoo! Like, I'm rich, you know, I got quarters. And I said, okay, but you have to give one of them to your older brother. And immediately he was like, oh, man, I don't want that. From elation to dissatisfaction in a heartbeat, all because of one little quarter. What I'm going to talk about today, what I'm going to teach us, is I'm going to help you get some advice on how to be dissatisfied. How to be dissatisfied with your life. How to be dissatisfied with what you have. How to be dissatisfied with who you are. Today, we're going to give you some bad advice on how to be dissatisfied. 1 Timothy 6:6-8 says this. It said, but godliness with contentment. Everybody say contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we had food and clothing, we will be content with that. If we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Well, I gotta say, That's about the silliest thing that I've ever heard of before. Now's when the sarcasm is going to start, all right? Just to let you know, I'm going to lay it on kind of thick so that it's going to be obvious when it gets to you, okay? That's the silliest thing that I've ever heard of. Let me ask you this question. Did anybody have food this week? Anybody eat this week? Go ahead and raise your hand. Because if you didn't raise your hand, we want to help you out. I'm going to tell you that. We're a church that wants to help you if you did not eat this week. So you had some food, right? Everybody had. Now, how many of y'all have clothing? You don't have to raise your hand on that because I could tell, okay? Like, nobody just came in their whitey-tidies to church today. We would have helped you out with that one for sure, you know? But how many of us would say, okay, I had food and I have clothing and I am completely content with that? That's about the silliest message that I've ever heard come from the scripture before. We're not content with just food. I want to have some good food. I want to have some better food. I'm not content with the clothes that I'm wearing. It doesn't have the right label on it. It doesn't fit the way that I want it to. I'm not content with just food and clothing. I want to be able to have more. We should have more. In fact, last time I checked, more is better, isn't it? Like if you have a little bit of something, that's fine and dandy. But what's even better than a little? More. Everybody say more is better. Some of you didn't want to say that. That's why you're like, I don't even want to speak those words. But that's how we feel sometimes, isn't it? That's how it comes across, is the fact that more is what we really want. If I had a little bit, you know what? If I had a little bit more, I'd be happy. How much would it take for you to be happy today? How much would it really take for you to be happy? We look at our different situations and where we're at in life, and Gallup poll actually did a survey on that to find out how much would it take for you to be happy. And they broke things up on how much people were making, household incomes, and they said, okay, if you make $30,000, around $30,000, they asked the question, how much would it take for you to be happy? And the average amount that it would be for somebody who was making $30,000 in their home and their average income right in that area, it was $74,000 a year. If their annual income was $30,000 a year, then they said, you know what, $74,000, that sounds good, because 75, like that just sounds greedy, you know, like 74 is 74.99. But that's what they said was 74,000. Now, I can tell you that when my wife and I, when we were first married, that I remember when we were making less than that, right? Like, those were fun days, weren't they? And I remember thinking to myself when I got my first kind of real job, you know, I got my first real job and I was making a little bit more, and I thought, man, $74,000, that would be fantastic. I wouldn't have a care in the world with $74,000 a year, right? Some of y'all are laughing. Because you know what happens, don't you? Because once you make $30,000 a year, all of a sudden, then you got a kid that comes around, right? And then you're like, hey, this money doesn't go as far as what I thought it was, right? And all of a sudden, there's more things that come up. Then they ask the question of somebody who was making $50,000 a year. How much would it take for you to be happy? Well, then it's six figures, isn't it? Yeah, $100,000, that's where things would be a whole lot easier. I wouldn't have a care in the world. I could go on some vacations. I could be able to do this and do that. And then you get to that point, don't you? And what happens? Now, not only do you have a kid at this point, now you got to be able to pay for their all their activities that go along with it. Now you got to pay for all their sports and their music lessons. You got to pay for all of this. You got a mortgage that you got to pay for. You got a car payment that's there. And you realize that, hey, this doesn't go very far, does it? For somebody who's making $70,000 and it's 150 plus, like it seems like we double every time, doesn't it? So here's the real answer to it. Here's really what it comes down to on how much is it going to take to make you happy. The answer, no matter where you're at, wherever income that you have inside of this room, I can tell you what the answer is. The answer is a little bit more. Just a little bit more would really help out. And it leaves us in a place where we're never completely satisfied. We are never content with where we are at. A little bit more would sure make you happy, wouldn't it? And so what we're going to talk about today, again, is how to be dissatisfied. How to make sure that you are always in this place that a little bit more is what you are searching after. That a little bit more is what the goal is for your life. Jesus talked about it in this parable found in Luke chapter 12. He said this, Jesus, and he told them this parable, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. Everybody say abundant. An abundant harvest. He thought to himself, man, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Man, all of a sudden, he went from 1 year not making very much to another year making a little bit more. He made more the very next year, and he said, man, what am I going to do? And then this is what he says to himself. He said, hey, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns, and I will build bigger ones. Everybody say bigger. Bigger's better, isn't it? Right? Like I need a bigger barn. That's what I need to be able to have inside of my life. I need a bigger house inside of my life. I need a bigger car. I need to be able to have better clothes. That's what I'm going to be able to do. I need a bigger barn. I need to build bigger ones. And there I will store up my surplus gain. And I'll say to myself, and this is what we say to ourselves when we want just a little bit more. And I will say to myself, now you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Now let's go ahead and take life easy. Let's go ahead and eat, drink, and be merry. That's what the goal in life is, isn't it? To go ahead and make life easy. That's what the American dream is. Let's go ahead and make life easy so that we can sit back in our glory days and eat, drink, and be merry. Bigger is better. Man, if you've got a little bit more is so much better. How can you be dissatisfied with your life? That's what we're going to talk about. But Jesus said this. He said, hold on a second. He said, hold on a second. This whole mentality that we have right here, I'm going to be able to watch you. And he continues on. He said, but God said to him, you fool. Hey, that's kind of mean, God. Like, that's not nice for you to say to somebody, you fool. You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? And this is how it will be, whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. We're building up for ourselves. We want bigger, better. We want to be able to pursue more and more and more, but we don't know when that day is going to come where we don't have anything. What are we building for? What are we living for? How can we be dissatisfied with our life? I'm going to give you that easy way to be dissatisfied with your life in four very simple steps. These are going to be powerful, so you're going to want to be able to take notes on this because I know that there's going to be a day that you wake up and you say to yourself, you know what? I don't want to follow God anymore. You know what? I'm sick and tired of all this joy in my life. I'm sick and tired of being able to be content with everything, of feeling the peace of God in my life, of being led by the Holy Spirit, that he's guiding me every single day. I'm sick and tired of all of this. I don't want to feel content. I don't want to feel satisfied anymore. Instead, I want to be completely dissatisfied with life. And if that's you, and when you get to that point, I got it for you in four easy steps. This is how you can become dissatisfied. Number one is this. You need to focus on being ungrateful. Focus on being ungrateful. Powerful way for you to be dissatisfied with life. Be ungrateful. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says this. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. That's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Give thanks in all circumstances. Because I don't know about you, but I've been in some circumstances that don't need any thanks at all. Right? Like instead of giving thanks in all circumstances, if you want to be able to be dissatisfied, you need to gripe in all circumstances. It's so much better for your life if you will gripe in all circumstances. Can you feel the sarcasm coming, right? Like, just go ahead and complain at all time because there's always things that could be better for you, okay? Like, it might be a good day for you. It could be better. It absolutely could be better. So go ahead and gripe about your good day because it wasn't good enough, all right? If you're having a bad day, you should gripe that it wasn't the worst day of your entire life. This could be a whole, please, I want it to be worse so I can feel more pity upon myself, okay? Just go ahead and gripe in all circumstances. That leads to a much better way of living. This is important too. This is very important for you to be dissatisfied, is to make sure that the people you have in your life, that those people that are in your life, friends, family, that if they have a certain blessing inside of their life, you should definitely complain about that. Don't be grateful for somebody else getting a blessing, because who do they think they are? In fact, I know who they are, and there's no way that they should have that. They got a new car? Don't even tell me they can afford that new car, because I know what kind of credit score they have, and there's no way they could have that kind of interest loan on that. Like, there's no possible way. Man, they get a lot of attention with the clothes that they wear. Man, I don't even know what kind of credit card bills that they would have. Go ahead and be ungrateful for the blessings in somebody else's life. In fact, this one is very powerful. That if it comes down to it, what's very important for you to help be ungrateful to your friends or your family members that are around, that you should go ahead and make up a rumor about them. Make up a rumor to make them be less, because it's going to make you feel so much better. And other people are going to think that you're better too. It's going to make you look so much better to the world around you if you can just make up a rumor about one of your friends. It's going to be powerful for you. Great way for you to be ungrateful, right? And then this is also very important. Make sure that you are ungrateful for the blessings that you have. Do not be grateful for the fact that you had food this week. Don't be grateful that you have a place over your head. Do not be grateful that you actually have the breath of life today. There is so much more that you could have. You need to focus on being ungrateful. Powerful. Powerful way for you to be dissatisfied. The second thing that I have for you today is this. You need to make sure that you compare what you have to people who have more. It's so important for you to compare what you have to what somebody else has, because they have more of it. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says this: we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Well, that's what the goal is. The goal is to not live a wise life. The goal is to live a foolish life. The goal is to be able to give in to all of my indulgences right here and right now. Right? And so a great way for you to be dissatisfied is to compare what you have with what somebody else has. Okay? That's a great way for you to do it. Let me tell you, if you enjoy your home, if you enjoy your home just a little bit, this is something that I want you to be able to go back home today after you're done here. I want you to be able to go home and then turn on HGTV and just binge watch HGTV, because we know this, that is how everybody else lives. Nobody else lives like me in my little house. Everybody else lives like that. In fact, I think they had a new show on there. I saw this. It's called The Lottery Dream House, right? That's not the lottery dream house. That's the way that all civilized people live. You're just living the way that, Neanderthals live. Nobody lives in a house like yours, okay? It's not... Here, if you don't have HGTV, which you should definitely complain about that, okay? But if you don't have HGTV, then what you can do is this, is that we have a church in a new area called Eastmark, we're building new homes all over the place, which means that there's a lot of model homes around. And what you should do is go walk through all of those model homes, because that's how real people live, with not one pillow out of place, okay? And they have a cleaning person that comes in after every single night to make sure that there's no dust on the floorboards. Dust on the floorboards, are you kidding me, right? You should definitely compare how you are living to somebody else who has more. Compare, compare, compare. And I'm not even talking about comparing just stuff. I'm not talking about comparing finances. We need to make sure that we're comparing our bodies as well. Compare your body. Because I can tell you something right now, man, that your body is not the way that it should be. That's not. I look at magazines and I look at the models on it, and that's the way that we're supposed to all look, right? And have somebody, a professional photographer, follow us around all the time who has photoshopped every single one of those images. That's the kind of body that you should have, okay? You need to compare, right? And when you're walking through somebody else's house, compare your decorations to theirs. Do it. It's so powerful for you. In fact, this is a big one. You need to do this. You need to make sure you go into their laundry room and compare your washer and dryer to their washer and dryer. Because I'm going to tell you that just clean and dry clothes is not enough. It needs to do it with some style. The more buttons, the better. Front loader, that was so 5 years ago. You need to get rid of that washer because you know that there's mold that gets inside of there. That's ridiculous. You need to upgrade that washer and dryer. You need to wash your clothes with some style. Make sure you compare. It's so powerful with you. Guys, you better compare yourself to the other guys that you have in your life. Because here's what I know. Who dies with the most toys wins. You better. You're not going to have more toys than me. I'm going to have the most toys. You better make sure that you're comparing. Compare the amount of toys you have. Compare salaries that you have, because that's where you find your true worth. Is how much you're making compared to somebody else. You need to compare everything that you have. Compare. It will definitely lead you to a life of dissatisfaction. And that's what the goal is. Make sure that you are dissatisfied. How do you do that? Compare what you have to somebody else who has more. The third one that I have for you, and this is a great one. The third one that I have for you to be able to live a life of dissatisfaction is make sure that you pursue temporary possessions. You've got to pursue temporary possessions over eternal treasure. That's what you got to do. That's what the goal in life is, to make sure that you have the most toys. Luke 12:15 says this. It said, then he said to them, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Come on, Jesus, you know better than that. Absolutely, that's where we find our worth. That's where life is, in all of our possessions. Last time I checked, that God said he wanted the abundant life for me. And that means I should have abundant possessions. I need to have all of the stuff inside of my life, because stuff means that I'm secure. I can find all my worth in all of my stuff. In fact, how am I supposed to compare myself to somebody else if we can't measure all of our stuff? I need to be able to show that I'm winning. I need to be able to show everybody else that I'm doing really well because I have all of my stuff. I need to have great possessions. And if you have some okay possessions, then that's okay. But you know that more is better. You know that bigger is better. The house that you have might be all right, but how long have you lived there? You know, I mean, come on. There's got to be a better house out there by now, right? There has to be, because we see houses getting built all over the place. There has to be a better house, right? There is no reason why you should be driving the same car for more than 2 years. That's ridiculous. That's not how people live. You need to be able to, you should go trade that thing in right away, because you're going to need more stuff. Bigger is better. Newer is better, isn't it? That's so important for us. And why this? Now, if we focused on eternal treasures, if we focus on what God wanted us for eternity, how am I supposed to measure that against somebody else? I can't measure eternity, and I need to have instant gratification today. I need to make sure that I feel better about myself today, and that stuff is going to make me feel better. That stuff is going to make sure. Pursue temporary possessions. Make sure that you're doing that on all times, and that will definitely help you to become dissatisfied with your life. The last one, and this is a powerful one for you, you need to write this one down. You need to make sure you definitely develop an attitude of entitlement. You need to develop an attitude of entitlement. Romans 6:23 says this, the wages of sin is death, which basically means that God is saying that whenever we sin, that we deserve death, spiritual death, separation from him. That doesn't make any sense to me. Because the last time I checked, I deserve way more than that. I deserve way more than separation from God. I deserve a good life. I'm a good person. I treat people pretty well. Like I try to hold the door open for people. I try to wave at the cars as they're driving by on the street, and those jerks are, I'm a better person than that person that doesn't wave at me, you know? I mean, give me a break. I deserve way more than separation from God. I deserve a good life. That's what we all deserve, isn't it? Because we're good people. You wouldn't be at church on a Sunday morning if you weren't a good person. And so you deserve a good life. You deserve a nice home. You deserve everything that this world has to offer you. And we deserve it right now. There's no reason for me to wait for anything. That doesn't make any sense. I am entitled to it. I am entitled to a nice home. I am entitled to a nice car. I am entitled to having a good life. That's the way that you're going to be able to be completely dissatisfied. When you have an attitude of entitlement, I deserve it. I deserve all of the nice things and any bad thing that happens to me. Don't you realize I've had a rough life already? I've come through all those things, and now it's time for me to have a good life. Now it's time for me to go ahead and eat, drink, and be merry. I'm entitled to it. If you want to be dissatisfied with your life, I'm going to tell you what. Go ahead and do that. Obviously, I'm being sarcastic about all these things, right? How do we be dissatisfied, right? Like, just go ahead and throw that out. All those things right there, they're completely sarcastic. Completely sarcastic for us to be able to walk through life with those attitudes. But here's the thing. We do it, don't we? We find ourselves in a place where we do these things. We find ourselves in a place where we truly are ungrateful, aren't we? Because we don't think about what we have, we think about what we don't have. We live in a culture that is, amazing in the way that they market stuff to us, don't they? I mean, we are bombarded with those things all the time, and it's not the fault of culture that does that, it's because we feed into it. We want to indulge ourselves, and so we forget about the things that we have, and instead we focus on what we don't have. And I want to tell you that when you do that, it leaves us completely dissatisfied, doesn't it? Man, this phone is horrible. I've had it for a year, and it's just so slow anymore, and we're completely dissatisfied because we're not thankful for what God has given us. Why do we find ourselves in a place that we're dissatisfied? Because we do compare ourselves, don't we? We compare ourselves over and over and over again. We don't do it on purpose. We just find ourselves in that place that, man, I wish I had that. Oh, man, I wish it was in that place. We even do it spiritually, don't we? We see somebody who, man, they put a whole lot of scripture verses on social media. They are like a hyper-Christian or something. Like, I'm horrible. I didn't put any scripture verses on there today, right? We find ourselves just comparing all the time, and I'm telling you what, it leaves you to a place where you're completely dissatisfied. We find ourselves in a place where we think, man, it's so silly to say that I'm going to pursue temporary possessions. Of course I don't want to do that. Stuff isn't that important, but yet we do it, don't we? We find ourselves in a place where we're saving up, don't we? We might save up for a new home, or we save up to make that big purchase on a new car, which is not a bad thing to do. You should save instead of just going out and doing whatever you want to do with nothing that you save for. Do that. But let me ask you the question. When was the last time that you saved up for a big offering to God? Well, now it just got real, didn't it? Because we realize that possessions truly do push us. That this stuff really kind of owns us instead of us owning it, doesn't it? And it leaves us in a place where we're completely dissatisfied. Well, why do we find ourselves dissatisfied? Because we do feel entitled. We just do. We live in a country that breeds entitlement. In fact, we have an entire system of our government that is called entitlements. And I'm not saying that there's anything bad with those things. I'm not saying that there's anything bad with a welfare system or Medicare or Social Security. I'm saying those, and I'm happy to pay my taxes to be able to help people out. But the fact that it's called an entitlement, I don't know. The last time I checked, an education is not an entitlement. It's something that we do want to bless our children with, though, don't we? But it breeds into us the idea that we are entitled to a good life. The pursuit of happiness. Yeah. No, I'm entitled to that. I'm entitled to the American dream. Not that I have to work for it. And it leaves us what? Dissatisfied. Oh man, I thought I should be so much further along at this age than I am right now. Man, I don't even have any savings. I don't even have a retirement. I'm just trying to keep up with the Joneses right next to me. And we're completely dissatisfied with our life. And again, it's not just in financial situations. It's not just with money and stuff, is it? We look at our bodies and we're just like, horrible. Got to lose 20 pounds. Some of us are like, I wish I could gain 20 pounds. Here, take some of mine, you know? We're dissatisfied with where we are in life. We find ourselves in a place that maybe you're single and you're like, man, I'm just so sick and tired of being single. I'm dissatisfied with my life. I need to be able to have somebody else inside my life. I need to find that special person, and they're the one that's going to make me happy. We're so dissatisfied with where we're at.
Buddy, you're going to have to go home with her, man. That was a wrong time for that, man.
Then we find that special somebody, don't we? And now we're dissatisfied with that. And we think to ourselves, you know what? Here's what would make this relationship so much better. We need kids. Kids would make our lives so much better, right? And then we get kids and we're like, these daggum diapers right here. Let me just get out of this diaper stage because I'm dissatisfied with this stage right now. I'm just sick and tired of diapers. I'm sick and tired of whining and crying all the time. Can I get an amen, all right? That's the stage of life that I'm in, okay? Like, just stop whining in my house all the time. And we just think if you could just get past that stage, and life is going to be better. And then we got to deal with teenagers. Oh, Lord Almighty, right? Whew. I got a 9-year-old already. I'm like, is this preteen? What's happening here? Where does attitude come from? Don't talk back to your mom, you know? Like, what in the world? Get out of this stage. Get on the next one. You need to get out the house. And then they come back in your house, don't they? Yeah. What happened here? I just need to be able to find it. We're completely dissatisfied with life. We're always looking for the next thing. See, here's what happens to us. Here's what happens to us. And I want to give you some godly advice to be able to help change that. If you're feeling that today, if you're feeling in your heart, you know what? There are moments that I am completely dissatisfied. Let's be honest. We're all there at times, aren't we? We got to be able to get to a place, follow some godly advice so that we're not living a dissatisfied life. We want to find complete contentment. We want to be able to live a wise way, just exactly what Jesus said, that we're not pursuing the things of this world, that bigger isn't better, that we're pursuing what he has for us. And so I want to help you and give you some godly advice today. I'm going to give you one amazing quote, and then I want to be able to give you the key to finding a satisfied life. And so today, if you want to be able to have a satisfied life, you need to be able to write this down. Gratitude turns what I have into enough. Gratitude turns what I have into enough. Let me tell you something. That people who have enough, you're not going to find people who have enough that are happy. Instead, you're going to find happy people that know they have enough. The key to being happy and finding satisfaction is not having more. It's understanding that what you have is enough and finding gratitude in that. So here's what you want to do is when that you leave here today and you walk into your car as you're leaving here, whatever mode of transportation you have, and then you go find yourself eating lunch. Maybe you go out to lunch and then you get back into your car and you're going to be able to say, oh, it's nice to be able to get rid of some of this humidity out of the car because this is just horrible. I'm so glad we have this air conditioning that's flowing. And then you drive up to your house. And then when you're sitting in your car and you push the button inside of your car to allow the house for your car called a garage, right? When you allow that thing to be able to move up and you pull into your car's house, and then you get out of your car's house and you go inside of your nice climate-controlled house, here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk up into your closet. And I want you to be able to look at all of the clothes this morning, all the clothes that you looked at and you said this morning as you were getting ready, I don't have anything to wear. That's what you said, didn't you? Instead, I want you to be able to look at what those clothes are. And I want you to be able to say, okay, God, what can I do with this? Instead of saying, I don't have anything, instead we can look at the possessions that we have and we can say, God, what can I do with what I have? What can I do with my home? Is my home a place that I can be able to be a blessing to other people? Is my home a place that maybe I can start having a community group? We talk about community groups here at our church all the time. And maybe my home is a place that we can have people come in here and they can feel Jesus in a powerful way. What can I do with the car that I have? Maybe there's somebody that needs a ride every once in a while. There's an older person that's close to me, maybe a widow that doesn't have a means of transportation to be able to help get from here to there. And maybe one day a week I could say, hey, can I bring you to the grocery store? What can I do with what I have? And realize that what I have is enough. Realize that the food that I eat every single day, that I can give thanks for it. I thank you so much for blessing me with food that I know that so many other people don't have. I thank you so much for the clothing that I do have and be content with that. Gratitude will lead you to that place. Living through every single day and thanking God for what we have. Philippians 3:7, Paul writes this. He said, but whatever were gains to me, I know I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Paul's saying this, that he said, all the stuff that I did before, all the stuff that I was pursuing before, I realized it was nothing. In fact, now I consider it a loss. And Paul was somebody who pursued his professional career with ambition. Before he knew Jesus, he was pursuing being a Pharisee. He says, man, I was faultless in being a Pharisee. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. And now, after all of this time, I realize that's nothing. It means nothing. And I don't know about you, but I know that the older I get, I know I got a long way to go, but I know the older that I get, I realize that the stuff that I thought was important when I was younger is nothing. It means nothing anymore. What do I realize? The more that I live this life, what do I realize? I realize that having healthy relationships and pursuing those relationships, man, that is so valuable, isn't it? And I realize that having those important people who are going to build me up and not tear me down, man, those are the things that are so valuable in my life. I consider all the rest of that stuff, man, it's just nothing. God, what can I use that for? But these are things that are important. My relationship with God. Pursuing God with everything that I have. I consider all the rest of that stuff just junk. It's a loss for me. Paul continues this in Philippians 3:8. I'm going to tell you, this is going to get to our key right now to living a satisfied life. He said, what is more? I consider everything a loss. Why? Because of the surpassing worth. Surpassing worth. It means that it's everything. Everything revolves around this, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Everything revolves around knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus is the key. And it's a difference between knowing about Jesus and truly knowing him. There is a massive difference between knowing about Jesus. Ooh, I got Bible study. I got Bible stories galore. I could tell you all about David and Goliath. I could tell you all about Samson. I could tell you all about Jesus and the disciples. I could tell you all about Paul walking through things. I know all about him. But you don't have a relationship with him. I consider it surpassing worth everything in knowing him. Truly knowing and having a relationship with the living Lord. Knowing Jesus. If you find yourself in a place where you're dissatisfied, do you know Jesus? Do you know what it means to walk with him? To talk with him? To have his spirit lead you
and guide you. Well, you know, I tried that before. I tried going to church. I tried doing some of this stuff. Did you give yourself fully to him? Did you really say, yes, I'm all in? Or did you just know about God? There's a huge difference between knowing him and knowing about him. John 17:3 says this. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, that they know you, that they know you, the one only true God in Jesus Christ whom you have sent. What's eternal life? What is everything? Where are you going to find that abundant life? Where are you going to find true satisfaction? I can tell you the only place that you're going to find satisfaction. The only place. And nothing in this world matters more than knowing Jesus. To know Jesus. Because I can tell you that when you know Jesus, that it's not just a place where Christ is just enough. Last week we even sang a song at the very end. We said, Christ is enough for me. But see, what happens to us many times is that when we sing that song, we think, you know what? He's just enough. He's barely enough. He's enough to get by. But I want more. See, I can tell you this today, that Christ isn't just enough, that Christ is exceedingly and abundantly more than enough. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the creator and sustainer of the universe. He is the soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who Jesus Christ is. And when you know him, then you are completely satisfied, because you can walk up and wake up in the day and you can say, God, what do you got for me today? Because you are more than enough, that you are exceedingly and abundantly more than enough for me. And what I have means nothing to knowing you. And I want to know you more today. What do you have for me today, God? And I am completely satisfied with my life. And I'm not satisfied with my life. I am living the abundant life. I am living my best life right now. I am living for eternity. I am living for God's kingdom. And that right there, that's when you are going to find complete satisfaction. If you are in a place where you're dissatisfied today, I can tell you that I want to encourage you, make sure you go all in with God. God, I don't want to just know about you. I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to make sure that I know your voice when you are speaking to me, when you are leading me through all of the good times and all of the bad times. There is nothing in this world that matters more than knowing Jesus. Today, church, I can tell you that I know that there are moments that each and every single one of us, we get dissatisfied. And instead of looking to other people, instead of looking at our stuff, instead, look at our Lord and our Savior and know that he is enough for us. He is more than enough. And church, I got a challenge for you today. If you've ever sat to your or thought to yourself, why is it that when I try to share my faith with somebody else, why is it that when I try to share my faith with somebody else that they don't hear it? They don't want to be able to join. They even say, no, a church is fine for you, but I don't need to do that. Challenge that I have for you today is because maybe you're living your life that Jesus isn't enough. That they see you pursuing the things of this world more than you are pursuing God. If you ever find yourself into that place, my challenge for you today is to evaluate where you are at. Evaluate what you are pursuing and how the world and how the people around you, the people that you have influence, what is the most important thing in your life.